Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 15th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Nick Schoenfeld, a partner with TBE Architects, about how the design of casinos will change now that COVID-19 has changed the world. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the affiliate marketing site players trust when deciding where to gamble online. For information on how your online or social casino, sportsbook, or poker room can get involved, visit iGamingPlayer.com. The world of casino design has changed since the onset of COVID-19. Nick Schoenfeld, a partner with Thald & Boyd Emery Architects, joined GGB from the Fort McDowell Casino in Arizona, which is making last-minute changes to an expansion designed by TBE as a direct result of the COVID-19 stipulations. Those changes include removing a new poker room, spacing the slot machines out in regards to social distancing, a new plan for the buffet, and much more. While some of these changes may only be temporary, Schoenfeld says many of them will have to be ingrained in every casino project from now on. He spoke with me from the Fort McDowell Casino in Arizona in June. Schoenfeld, thanks for joining us on the podcast. It's good to talk to you. I understand you're a little remote today. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Fort McDowell, Arizona. We're getting ready to open the new Fort McDowell Casino at the Weekapaw Resort. Everybody's familiar with their golf course. They currently have a casino, and we're doubling the size of the facility, and we'll be opening this fall.
Okay, great. I've been there before. It was very nice before you started the addition, but I'll bet it's twice as nice now.
Well, we think so, but then we're a little bit biased.
Yes.
But it's been a lot of fun. I've been working on this project since I had all my hair and I was actually thin. Linda and I started this project in 2004.
Wow.
And we're now just getting to finish it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it means a lot.
Well, it is in a beautiful part of Phoenix as well, and it's just a nice place to go to get away.
Yes, it is. It's very nice. It's a mild 110 today.
Okay, right. I forgot it's the summer there, right? So, obviously, there's been some changes to what they had planned. I mean, they were closed until just a couple of weeks ago, correct?
That's correct, and they've had a record couple of days when they opened.
Right, right.
We're ready to get back, so that's all good.
So what has this COVID-19 situation meant for specifically the Fort McDowell Casino, and did you have to make any changes in how the floor is laid out and things like that?
Yes, well, we're in the process of they have an access floor because one of their biggest concerns was the smoke. And so we have an air distribution through the floor. So we have to re-lay out the entire gaming layout. We are abandoning poker, and we're actually making that a non-smoking gaming area. We're spreading out the machines more so that they keep more machines running with the social distancing. And then we're making changes in the food service venues. They've invested quite a bit in their original buffet concept, which is, you know, traditional, and of course none of the buffets are open. You can't open a brand new property with a beautiful new buffet and not have it open. So we're making changes to that, not only architecturally with additional screens and lighter seating layouts, seating footprints, but with technology so that orders and deliveries and things like that from the desk and from the tables are going to take place rather than necessarily the guests going through the line. The guests still can go see the food and then order it off of an iPad and have it delivered straight to them as much as they want.
Okay,
so
okay.
It's an interesting concept where they're very innovative with their food and beverage out here. So they want to make sure their guests are well taken care of.
Sure. I want to get back to that. I want to focus on the casino, though, first.
I'm sorry.
Even before COVID-19, there had been a trend towards fewer slot machines on the casino floor, especially in the destination resorts where, they already had these huge casino floors and they were just kind of downsizing them. Has this accelerated that trend?
I think so. In the old days when we first started Native American gaming, Indian gaming, back, 19, late 90s.
Right.
You know, we were packing them in 25, 28 square feet per machine.
Right.
Now we're into the 30s and 40s, and I think the more relaxed atmosphere, the idea that you're not right on top of each other like a cattle call, I think that appeals to people. And I think even after COVID is passed, I think people are going to want a little social distance from people they don't know.
Sure.
And that's one thing we're working very closely with the management here to get that done.
Sure. And I've seen the use of more carousels and really just four machines in a circle. So that's kind of gives you a little more distance, right?
That's quite a bit, yes, because we can have four people around the outside. And then with our air distribution system, that also allows us to bring that through underneath the carousel, so that comes under the toe rest of the base of the machine. So it's really working out well, taking the numbers down. And any place where we do have to have a bank of machines, we're working with odd numbers so that they can have, you know, one machine down when one machine's playing.
Right.
And that's working with technology a little bit as well. But the four carousels are becoming a huge advantage to getting this to work, and that in turn allows that floor to loosen up and to feel more spacious and less like the old slot parlors we used to in Vegas in the old days.
Yeah, no question. So let's talk about table games. And obviously, there's a limitation, in jurisdictions like Nevada. There's a regulatory regulation of 3 to a blackjack table. I think 6 to a craps table, 4 or 5 to a roulette table. Is that the way they're handling it at Fort McDowell?
That is exactly how they're handling it, with the partitions between the players.
Okay.
They've instituted new, how they sanitize the cards and the chips.
Right.
They're having people turn in the chips when they move from table to table, so you get a fresh set of chips, so that those are sanitized, and they use UV right at the table as well.
Okay.
Everyone, before they can play at a table, we're installing hand sanitizers as well.
Okay. So is there a plexiglass dividers going between the seats at this point?
That's currently the plan. Yes, yeah. That's what we're looking at. Plexiglass has become a premium, so we're looking at some other alternatives as well. The staff will all be masked.
Yeah, I've talked to some casino operators who are telling me that the plexiglass industry is exploding. They're backed up. It takes them six weeks to even place an order. And one casino actually told me they started their own plexiglass factory. So that's probably
that's
the best way
smart,
to go,
I'm
right?
Sure.
Yeah. So, I guess Fort McDowell is somewhat of a locals casino, since I know in Phoenix, you can draw that, 10 or 20 mile circle around each property, and that's 90% of your market. So, does that make a difference of how densely packed you bring the slot machines in?
Well, the original Fort McDowell casino is quite old and was added on to in a series of basically metal buildings.
Sure.
And yet their demographic for Fountain Hills and for Scottsdale is a much, much more luxurious client.
Sure.
So they've not really pulled a lot from the immediate area except for their nicer restaurant, the Anala, which was in conjunction with the hotel, and of course their golf course is world renowned.
Sure.
And so the whole idea behind this hotel was, or this casino, was to bring it up to the hotel standards, which the hotel has a four diamond resort. And so the entire casino is designed to be a four diamond service.
I see.
Touch
okay.
point facility. Great.
So do you think these changes are going to be permanent or temporary?
I think a lot of the changes, the looser slots, the looser floor, I think the plexiglass will probably go away.
Yeah.
But I think the less dense floor will stay. I think, for right now, until poker sees another resurgence, I think poker is going to be somewhat secondary. Table games, that's where really the action and the energy comes from a gaming floor. I certainly hope we can get more than three people at a table in the future, because that brings that excitement to the floor that you just don't get with slots. And that's also where we see a lot of the younger people, our millennials, playing.
Right. And of course, you know, the business model of these casinos when they open is to have full games and full slot machines. So how do you have to redesign the floor while still keeping that eye on return on investment and maximizing revenues?
Well, the compact in Arizona sets the number of machines per gaming floor. And
okay.
So right now we are at the maximum of the compact because of some liberties that we've taken with some of the spaces that we may not, you know, for example, poker. And then we have a very large bingo. We're actually discussing and reviewing whether we reduce the size of bingo and put more gaming machines in that, because it's all on access floor. So, and it's all easily redesigned. So we put a central that would allow them to grow 600 machines. They'd have to pull some more power, but the UPS is there, which is the expensive part. So there's a lot of that we're working through, and that's one of the reasons we're here today is to see which directions they want to go with some of the options we've put down. And since this is a really long-term relationship for us, it's you know, we roll up our sleeves and we sit down with their slot people since we've been working with them since we were all young.
Sure. Right. Right. Well, that's a characteristic of Thald and Boyd. You guys always work hand in hand with your clients and do develop that long term relationship.
Yes, and that's what makes it fun. That's where we have a great time.
Right.
So it's important to us to have relationships with people, even if we don't have the projects. We like to sit down and we like to have friends in the industry.
So. Sure. Absolutely. So let's talk about the food outlets. You know, in a lot of states, the restaurants open that only had some outside seating. Is that a consideration now more that some of these restaurants might be configured to with some more terrace seating, that kind of thing?
We do have the new Ember Steakhouse will have outdoor seating, but in addition, they wanted a very elegant, laid back space, so it's not a crowded space to begin with. We almost were at social distancing with the intimate design that we had, some of the booths and things like that. So they're actually able to use about 80% of their booths and still keep people separated. And then the table count only went down slightly because of, again, as I said, they had wanted, the concept for the space was very elegant, very refined, very not crowded, because that's what their local guests want.
Sure.
And that's what's been really successful for them in their clubhouse and in their restaurant that's adjacent to the hotel. So those are really more designed for the affluent local that lives in this area.
Right. Okay. iGamingPlayer.com was one of the first fully licensed affiliates in the New Jersey market. Through partnerships with all the major online casino, poker, and sports betting websites, iGamingPlayer has become one of the most trusted places where players visit before deciding where to gamble online. iGamingPlayer offers reviews of the online gaming sites, advice about how to play the games, odds and opinions on sports betting, and much more. Soon to be licensed in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Michigan, iGamingPlayer.com can make the difference between success and failure for new online casino, poker, or sports betting websites. For information on how to work with iGamingPlayer, visit iGamingPlayer.com. Now back to our podcast. So you mentioned the buffet. I mean, I've been having arguments with some players who are saying, oh, they have to have the buffet, and some of these places aren't going to have them come back. But it sounds like the Fort McDowell folks are ready to bring it back in a reimagined way.
Yes, and they have a mix. As I said, they have a mix of players. You know, some people would never choose to go to a buffet. This one, they spared no expense, even when we were trying to look for ways to, you know, every project has to have some value management on it. We looked at, do we scale this down? Do we make it a food hall? Do we do any of these other things? And they pulled their players, and we sat with several of their focus groups, and they all wanted a buffet. So they're working really hard to get it to be a buffet that you can get what you want, as much as you want, but in a way that's safe for everyone.
Right. Is there some technology that's going along with that as well? Like you can order straight from the table?
Yes. One of the things that was what we were just doing today is how do we, you know, can we add basically iPads on every table so that you pay your price, you come in, you sit down, and then you can go look at the food, you can order, I want, you know, a plate of spinach salad, and then one of the things they'll show up is, oh, our salted caramel cake's running low today. If you want that, you better order it now. You know, just that kind of thing, so that if you want extra, you know, all your chicken wings or your drumsticks, or, you know, I want two pieces of medium rare prime rib. Those are all the things that you can do from an app. So okay. we were meeting with a vendor on that just this morning. So.
Okay. Well, it sounds like this is going to pretty substantially increase the employment cost. I mean, you're going to have, you know, waitresses and people running back and forth with this food. I mean,
they are looking at needing more servers. That's absolutely correct.
Well, that's got to impact the price of the buffet then.
Well, they have always been fairly successful in managing that and managing the cost of food. They have, when I was looking at their numbers early when we were planning it, their numbers are actually of lost waste in the buffet are pretty amazing compared to other places in the valley and other facilities I've seen. And I don't know if that's their clientele, if that's their management exactly. You know, there's 100 reasons it could be, but I think the little bit of added touch point service, at least for now, is exactly what people are looking for. They're looking still for personal contact, and I think that's the level of service that Fort McDowell is striving to achieve, because we've got great facilities all around us out here.
Right.
And, you know, we worked on Ok Chin, which is clear across the valley. Of course, you know, we all admire Talking Stick and Wild Horse Pass. Those are all gorgeous properties.
Sure.
And so the one thing that they had identified early is that they were servicing, you know, a touch point service with guests. So it's a non-architectural item, but it's something that's really critical to make it happen.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about some of the other elements that are being impacted. Certainly, for example, entertainment. You know, nobody's going to want to go sit in a concert hall for a little bit of a while here anyway. How are you approaching that as from a design standpoint?
Well, actually, in our last, we are also working on a family entertainment center for Gary George up at Wild Horse in Pendleton, Oregon. And one of the things there that they had identified earlier is they like to have local talent. And so we were integrating in as part of this package some more spot locations for smaller venue bands rather than a huge concert venue. And so that's we're seeing that added in a couple of projects right now. We've got two brand new ones on the boards that just came up during COVID because they realize it's a great time to build. So it's kind of exciting to see the different things that we're all working on getting. But it's more, instead of investing in a large, you know, banquet hall at first, you know, we're investing more in a smaller venue that you can use a smaller local talent on.
Sure. Yeah, and I guess lounges can also be kind of redesigned to respect social distancing as well.
That's correct, and we've spread those out, and we're working on that. We also have one. We're working with the Tulalip tribe on their Quilcita Casino, and we have several opportunities there as well for smaller venue entertainment with an overflow space that could either work for dining or for the entertainment. And so we're getting some of that cross use, as well as entertainment in the different bars and restaurant services.
Okay, great. The reason I was down at Fort McDowell, I was there for a conference. I guess now it's probably 15 years ago now, but they had it was the 20th anniversary of the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act. So it was quite a while ago, even now. But anyway, they had a very nice meeting and convention space. How is that being impacted right now in terms of its usage and also in terms of its future?
Well, one of the things is they're obviously committed to the long-term use of that facility for
sure.
What it has been, which is conferences and spaced out. It's a very large facility. So instead of, you know, they're from what I understand, we've been doing layouts, and they've been trying to present it as a light, as a, you know, not as dense a venue as the when they've done them in the past.
Sure.
Right now, most of the conferences, most places are on hold. But that's one of the things they are working on is how can we, you know, we can break this down. So maybe we, instead of just, you know, a 1,000-square-foot room, maybe we give them a 2,000-square-foot room and they can have it the same size. You know, we can set up chairs with some space in between them rather than all right on top of each other.
Sure. Yeah, no question about that. So it sounds like, you know, what the casino operator is going to have to really focus on over the next few years here is repurposing the space that they have already, whether they have big casino floors that are going to shrink a little bit or whether they have the meeting and convention space and how to use that. Is that something that you're looking forward to?
Well, actually, yes. I mean, change is something we've always embraced at the firm, and I, you know, some days I do it. Cussing and swearing, but it's exciting when you get into it and get to see what happens and the creativity that people come up with. And when it comes down to it, 90% of what we have to do is create a perception so that everyone knows how clean it is. They understand how much attention people are paying. And as I said, I really don't think that that the average gamer is going to be comfortable exactly as it used to be. Ever, because, you know, we're all aging, we're all getting to that point where, you know, we're worried about getting sick, and so when we're given the opportunity to do something we love and enjoy and do it safely, I think some of these things are definitely here to stay. I hope the masks go away, quite frankly, because
right.
I'm a people person, you know that. I like
right.
looking in people's eyes and
yep.
talking to them and seeing their reactions. And I think a lot of us need that connection. So I hope that goes away. But I think a lot of common sense is going to come back into play. You know, it took us a pandemic to all learn how to wash our hands. But don't tell me what it's going to take to get us to all the way to use our turn signals now.
Yeah. So how about the hotel rooms? Do you have hotel rooms in this new addition at Fort McDowell?
No, we're not building new hotel rooms,
okay.
But we are building some new hotel rooms for other clients.
Sure.
And one of the things they're doing is they're rotating. They're only booking right now. They're booking between a half and a third of the rooms at any point in time so that once a guest leaves, the room is cleaned and then stays empty for a day.
Right, okay.
And that way, you know, you can say, you know, it's completely clean, and people are reacting well to that. I've talked to several of our properties that we worked with that have said that, you know, it's not great, but you know, it's really good. And he goes, you know, and they all have said it's really challenged our housekeepers to step up to the plate because they understand how important their job is now. It's always been important, but it now really empowers them to do better work.
Right. Sure. So are they just using sanitizers, or are they using these UV lights as well?
UV lights are being used on things that normally don't change. They're using the UV lights on the headboards, the nightstands, you know, especially if they're wood. We've always done a hard surface, you know, like a solid surface, but, you know, and then we see them on the bed skirts.
Yeah.
We're also seeing, we were sitting down and working with a client just recently with Harris, wanted to eliminate bed boxes, so we got rid of one more piece of inventory, but we also got rid of something else that could be contaminated.
Right, right.
We're using more platform-oriented beds.
Sure, okay. Well, so one more question. What if you had to design a hotel casino from scratch right now, you know, knowing what we know now, what do you think would be really different from what you've done in the past?
Well, one of the things we used to focus on tremendously was the valet experience, and now that's not happening as much. In fact, I don't know anybody who's opened their valet services yet. So I think that's one place where, you know, the porte-cochere will still be important, but I think it's taking a backseat to a comfortable garage that gives you weather protection, that on the hottest day of the year your car is under shade, and on the coldest day of the year you don't have to scrape your windows.
Right.
I think that's going to become more important than that valet service touch point. But that's just me. That's just been what I've seen, because I heard several people at a couple of properties we just opened garages with, and they've made those comments. So
okay.
You know, I've always liked a garage because I'm a wuss and don't want to clean my windows. And I never like anybody in my car except me. So
sure.
Those are all things that, you know, a locals casino needs to consider.
Great, great. Well, Nick, it's been great talking to you, and I appreciate you taking the time as you're walking the Fort McDowell expansion today. And I can't wait to see it. Next time I get to Phoenix, I'm going to take a detour and make sure I check it out, because the TBE work is always top of the line.
Well, thank you, Roger. We think so, and we're having lots of fun. So it was kind of scary there for a while, but we're glad to be rolling ahead.
Yeah, it's good to be out from under. That's for sure.
That's right.
We built the city.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast, brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the affiliate marketing site players trust when deciding where to gamble online. For information on how your online or social casino, sportsbook, or poker room can get involved, visit iGamingPlayer.com. To learn more about how casinos are designed and built, visit GGBMagazine.com and CasinoStyleMagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at GGB News using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB Podcast. Subscribe to iTunes and Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.